Obituary. Two voices of sanity. Councils of imperfection. Catherine Whitehorn and Mahinda Watsa died on January 8th and December 28th respectively, aged 92 and 96.
When, as a young woman looking for solid work, Catherine Whitehorn was moving round from one grungy digs to another, she realised that the cookery books of the time were no use. To begin with, they assumed a knowledge of food and its preparation she simply didn't have. Besides, it was hard to produce a decent meal, let alone anything impressive, when all you had was a gas ring in one corner of your room and water down the hall. And when the problem wasn't just to assemble passable ingredients, but to find somewhere to put down the fork while you took the lid off the saucepan. So was born Cooking in a Bedsitter, 1961, a Bible for the cookery challenged for decades afterwards, with its cheery insistence that yes, you could cook cabbage if you chucked in a crust of bread to stop the smell getting into the curtains, and yes, you could knock up a delicious little dinner à deux out of packets and tins as long as you got rid of the evidence. Such down-to-earth advice, practical, witty, and if necessary, sharp, essential to have a sharp knife, as Ms. Whitehorn said, came equally from Mahinda Watsa in Mumbai, who realised that an increasing amount of his time as an obstetrician-gynaecologist was taken up with counselling people who knew little or nothing about the birds and the bees. In the 1960s, he started a Dear Doctor column in a women's magazine. In 2005, at 80, when counselling had long overtaken his medical practice, he became the daily sexpert on the tabloid Mumbai Mirror. Could a woman get pregnant, ran one inquiry, if a man and a woman sleeping alone thought of making love at the same time? Answer, there are no angels to carry your sperm to the person you dream of. If acidic substances prevented pregnancy, ran another, could orange or lemon juice be poured into the vagina after sex? Are you a Bale Puri vendor? Where did you get this weird idea? Young men, especially young men, though about 3 in 10 who wrote were women, knew that if they wanted sprightly clarity on sexual matters, they could find it on page 34 of the Mirror. Just as, in Britain, women, especially women, though men were also firm fans, searched out Ms. Whitehorn's trenchant views on life in the Sunday Observer for more than 30 years, and after that in Saga magazine. Both she and he cut through the confusion with a strong sense of mission. Ms. Whitehorn was the first columnist in Britain to give a voice to ordinary, non-decorative, muddling-through women, and became the model for the dozens of confessional columns that followed. She had started in journalism, a patriarchal club as it was in the 1950s, typecast and moody-looking in the fashion section, but quickly encouraged women, in books and broadcasts as well as columns, to overcome any obstacles of biology, maternity or delicacy, and to write about anything and everything. As for Dr. Watsa, his campaign, almost single-handed at the start, was to talk plainly and naturally to Indians about sex. From 1974, when he joined the National Family Planning Association, he promoted sex education in schools, trained teachers, wrote manuals, and ran workshops, daring to raise against considerable hostility a subject that people too often wouldn't face.